When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week by Donnie. How are you, Donnie?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. No Tom this week, he's got prior engagement, so it's just me and Donnie. This is our last podcast, well, potentially last podcast before the season starts. So we will be active on Twitter leading up to it, and we can obviously help people out. There are people that we draft, I think that some people had non-playing players on their team or didn't have Tav on their team or didn't have had players like goalkeepers, second choice goalkeepers. So again, just throw questions like that to us all the way up to the start and we'll try to answer our best as we go along. We don't know every answer, but we do try. Right, before we get into today's podcast, the couple of housekeeping stuff. The podcast leak is now live on the app. So if you go to your Fantasy Football Scotland app, open it up and it'll be, I believe, just the league section and we're the second one to the top. So you can join our league. Donnie's the current champion, but last year, I believe, it's because people didn't get a chance to. They couldn't bother running two teams, so it's a shallow victory for him.
No, but I'll take it.
In all seriousness, we're going to have a lot of players playing this year. Donnie's a champion. He's on the podcast. He finished sixth last year, Donnie?
Yeah, sixth overall.
He knows his stuff. So try to catch him, beat him. I think we're doing quite well. Also, the cup starting off the season, the Kevin Van Deen Cup is open live. I'm going to cap it at 64 teams. That's a nice even number for double legs, and it would finish in game week 10. So it's like a cup, 64, 32, 68, 42. We're currently got 45 names in the cup, so there's 19 places left. Bye-bye, quick math set. So once that's fill up, it's shut. If it doesn't get filled by that point, what I'll have to do is I'm going to hold in Sunday, so I'll have to cap it before then and stop it and get a draw made because obviously when I'm holding, I will not have access to do the draw. I need all done to fill and hold in Sunday. So what I was thinking is Thursday probably will be the cut-off day. I have to stop it, so I can get a draw done on Friday. I'm busy Saturday, I mean Sunday. So I will put a tweet out again. I will ask a couple of your suspects who haven't joined yet. I don't know if they're playing a game this year, and we'll see you up to 64. Okay. So, as we said last week, Donnie, we're going to kind of start this off with fixtures. So, a couple of things for new players in the game before we start is two teams you could probably rely on and say they're fixture-proof is Celtic Rangers, Rangers Celtic, whatever your preference is. They're two big heavy hitters in the Scottish football game, so don't look at their fixture runs unless they play each other. That's the only thing you need to worry about. Apart from that, they're expected to win the majority of the games unless they play at Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs. That probably be sticky. Sticky grounds for them. Apart from that, they're going to win most of their games, so they are fixture-proof. I think Donnie alluded to last year, Scottish football is a bit weird where most teams could beat most teams, so you could be sitting 12th in the league and you could be away to 3rd in the league and wouldn't be expected if they would drop points. So it's just on fixtures, try to use fixtures especially on players in form, using your heavy hitter players, you normally do. Dom's got a bit on this later. But we'll digress. We'll get to the fixtures, Donnie. So I'm just going to quickly run through. Well, first of all, fixtures. Who's the most important man in fixtures? City. Sotty Show on Twitter has a ticker, the updates. It's also Sotty's birthday, by the way. There's a happy birthday, Sotty. I saw it popped up on his Twitter page.
Happy birthday.
He updates it so you can see the league's playing right through. He will update it through the season with European games, cup games, any blanks, Simmons. So he's a must follow. And when things happen in cups wise, you can keep an eye on that. And also, if you're not too sure of certain things, you can see how far ahead certain teams go before they play, for example, Rangers. So I'm going to come over to you, Donny, and let you start with the fixtures and see what you've took fit. And I want to add, I'll jump in and add as you go along.
So when I'm doing my fantasy football, I tend to look like 3 weeks at a time. Obviously, you can't account for injuries and things like that. So the first three fixtures, Celtic and Rangers do probably have easy games. Celtic got Ross County, Aberdeen, St Johnstone, while the Rangers have Kilmarnock, Livingston, and then Ross County as well. But the reason I've capped it is three, they play each other game week four. And by the time you get to there, you'll be able to have a good look. But what's also interesting and what you touched on there is I tend to look at, like you say, when they play Rangers and Celtic. So if you take Aberdeen, for example, they play Celtic game week two and then Rangers game week seven. So they've got quite a stuttery start. But what does stand out is you've got Hearts and Hibs. They don't play Rangers and Celtic until weeks 9 and 10. So you're going to get a good run out of those two teams. Whereas on the flip side, Ross County, you've got Rangers and Celtic in the first 3 weeks. St Johnstone, I've got game weeks 3 and 5. So just looking at those alone, you can almost avoid those teams or jump on those teams if you're trying to target them. But fixture-wise, as I say, just try and not look too far ahead because something always comes up, an injury or a sending off, and you just need to be wary about. But I think Hearts and Hibs have certainly got a good run if you want to target them. Ross County, St Johnstone, teams that I don't fancy at the best of times, have got terrible starts, and I think both Old Firm teams have got quite generous starts as far as the season goes. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Yeah, and just on that, when you're talking about the Rangers play Celtic season at game week four, the fixtures on their end it aren't exactly bad either. They both go to Celtic at Hope and Dundee, Rangers go to St Johnstone. So we always say this, we always question it every year, but this time, or game week four time, is just ride out the storm. Tend to think the team at home is probably a slight favourite. So
yeah,
play one, bench the other. If you've got six, I think it'll be quite hard to have six this year, mind you. Who do you think is going to win? You think Rangers are going to win at home? Bench your Celtic players. You think Celtic's going to win at Ibrox? Bench your Rangers players and vice versa. That's just gut feeling on the aspect at all. I was going to bring up the Hearts and Hibs situation. They're probably the two teams, but both. I'm not as high in Hearts as most, but I still think they'll finish top six.
Yeah.
So Hearts and Hibs potentially and should be top six teams. So the fact they don't play either any Rangers or Celtic until game week 9 and 10, like you say, game week 9, I think is a big advantage. The only thing with that is they're both in Europe, so we don't actually see any of their team news. It's on friendlies. We do see Hibs. I think Hibs play on Thursday night before the league starts. Or
yes.
So you will see Hibs team. So if they're taking Europe series, you will see what their back line looks like, the midfield looks like, any maybe players you want to get in. So that's the only way it can help you'll get. And apart from at least the league, look at the fixtures and what we always say, sorry, the friendlies, what we always say, any other team you're looking for, there's two rounds of cup action still to come before the league starts. I believe that right in it, Saturday, then Tuesday, Wednesday again. So you should,
yeah, that's right.
You should see what players are not necessarily nailed, but especially that last fixture, I think, unless the team's qualified. I mean, I've been taking notes myself of who's played many games and ticking them off so I can see just for cheapies, basically. Well, he's played 3 games out of 3,
yeah.
Two games out of two. So he's probably in the manager's thoughts. Transfers, obviously, permitting big players on that could all change, but you can only go with the information in front of you. Right.
No, absolutely. I was just going to say, on that front, talking about Europe, Aberdeen are guaranteed group stage European football, so they will be playing every Thursday until Christmas or whenever it is. So they will then play every Sunday in terms of their league game. So from a team news point of view, that's going to be a sticking point. If you're going to double up in defence, it's always going to be a risk that you won't see any team news. So just little anomalies like that. If you're new to the game, you'll just have to get used to.
That's true, yeah. You just need to also try to go for nailed players, like the keeper maybe, for example, or if they've signed Devlin or Lopez. Players you think if they're fit, they're playing, so that's something. I don't think I mentioned it last week. Did you mention the fact that the deadline's moved to kickoff? Did we say that?
I was going to mention it, but yeah, that's pretty handy. Again, with Scottish football, a lot of the Saturday games are half 12. If Rangers or Celtic are playing away, it's generally going to be on TV and they do a half 12 games. But if it's a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday afternoon and we're all playing at the same time, you've got that additional time. Sometimes in a midweek, a team will play at 7:30 on the TV. And then the other games are 7:45. So again, just having that deadline removed, it makes a big change. I came unstuck one game week last year. The servers weren't very friendly. I couldn't get my teams updated in time and I ended up losing points. So that 15-minute window where everyone's trying to update on team news, maybe Celtic have made some rogue changes that nobody's expecting. By taking that away, it just gives everyone that opportunity to update. Some Dundee United used to be quite bad for not updating team news. So again, you just get extra time to do it. So set your timers, give yourself, you know, 2:30 or 12 o'clock, whenever the kickoff is, and just go in and do your team knowing that you're not against this 15-minute window that we used to be up against.
Yeah, and just on that, the first game is Celtic at Ross County, 12:30 kickoff. And because it's a new manager, we're not really sure how the front line will look or the back line will look. So that gives you the flexibility to get in check and see the team at that point, which is probably a big plus. Right, Donny, we are going to move to Donny Dive. You've got something for us, so I'll let you take it away before we get into the drafts and questions.
Yep, so we've obviously got the full game released now. We've had a chance to look at it. So I'm going to go through positions. Keepers, I can do all the keepers because there's only 12 to go by. And then we'll look at the each position after that, looking at premium, mids and budgets for each position. But I thought I'll just tick off. This is something Tom would normally do in terms of the rules. But as far as I can tell, the rules are the same as last season. In terms of points and assists and things like that. We mentioned the game kickoff. Chips, again, just for anyone who's new to playing the game, you've got three chips. You've got your wildcard chip where you can change your team for no deduction of points. You get two of those throughout the season and you can use them whenever you want. So you can use it in game week 2 and game week 3. It's entirely up to yourself. I kind of blew mine last year when I was in the cup final. I tried to make some changes and it didn't go for me. A lot of people do it at the split or at the end of a transfer window, but you can use them whenever you want. And that's you. You've got your bench boost, which if you've played other fancy football games, is self-explanatory. You've got your team plus whatever's on your bench for that game week. And then you've got your... What's the other one? Oh my God, I've gone blank. Wildcard, bench
triple
boost,
captain.
Triple captain. Triple captain. Should have known that. That's the one that got me my good finish. Obviously, your captain will score triple points. So you might want to look at a double game week to do that, or you can keep it up your sleeve like I did last season. Very last game of the season, I played it and I got some big scores there. But that's the basics of the chips. You've got captaincy and vice captaincy again. If you're new to the game, your captaincy will get double points, including bonus. And one thing that I find is quite good within Scottish football is your vice captaincy will also score bonus points. If it's a defender, they'll get the clean sheet bonus. If it's a midfielder or a forward, they'll get the goals bonus. So that's quite handy. You'll have a captain and a vice captain each week that will get you points. If for any reason your captain doesn't play, then your vice captain becomes your captain. But something we'll always talk about each game week, who a captain and vice captain is. Now, because of the way that clean sheets are capped, you can only get one clean sheet, whereas goals, if they score two goals, you're going to get points there. I always think it's better to vice captain a midfielder or a forward. Just before I go on to the positions, one word you'll hear us use quite a lot, again, if you're new to the game, is the bench trick. So what this is the order of the subs doesn't matter. So you can deliberately play a non-playing player, and then your best sub will come on at the end of the game week. So it allows you to spread your bets in terms of your bench. So when you hear us talking about bench trick, that's what we mean there. I don't think there's anything else in terms of the rules, is there, Peter?
It's pretty much stayed the same. I think that's pretty much covered. I was going to mention the bench trick. The only thing I noticed this year, the bench trick, is in previous seasons on the app, the player is flagged red. So you see that he's not playing for the team and it'll tell you if you transfer. On that now, the player isn't, so you can make the mistake of taking the player out by mistake, and then obviously he's not in the game anymore and he's gone. So I'd just be wary of if you've got a bench trick player on your team, make sure you don't transfer him out or just do it by messing about with your team because he's not in the game to bring back in. And it's not like FPL yeah, game where the player stays restore player. You can't restore the player. You need to look for him. They won't find him. So heads up on that one. Just don't touch him. Just leave him. don't even attempt. Just leave him. Leave him in your team and don't touch him.
Like Peter and announce to the game that this player's gone on loan because they took him away.
Well, I was just to give people a heads up. I've done it quite quick. I've noticed a few players have left and they're out quite quick. So that was just to give players a heads up. There will should be more.
There was a Motherwell player went on loan today. I want to say it was Tierney, but I forget. Anyway, it doesn't have to be somebody else away on loan. It could just be somebody that's never going to get a game and is as cheap as chips. Anyway, moving on to the places in full. We'll start with goalkeepers. So I've done what I think is the starting off keepers for each team. We'll look at their prices and then we'll talk through some pros and cons. So the most expensive keeper in the game is Joe Hart, 3.4 million. Then Jack Butland, Rangers, 3.2 million. Cal Roos, Aberdeen, 3.1. You've then got Hearts. It will probably be Xander Clark at the start of the season, 2.8, but they do also have Craig Gordon at 3 million, who is currently injured. Moving on, Motherwell, you've got Liam Kelly, 2.9. St Mirren is Zach Hemming. I don't think Trevor Carson is going to be playing for them this season. And Zach Hemming's 2.7. Ross Laidlaw, Ross County's 2.7. David Marshall at Hibs is 2.7. St Johnstone's new goalkeeper, Dimitar Mitov, is 2.6. Dundee's keeper, Adam Legdens, is 2.6. And Shamal George at Livingston is 2.6. So what you've got there is you've got half of the league is 2.6, 2.7 million, which is pretty decent. And then you move on to your premiums, your Motherwells, your Hearts, your Aberdeens, Rangers, Celtics. So I've always gone, I don't spend too much money in terms of goalkeepers. I will always just have one goalkeeper that hopefully will play the whole season. I don't run with two because I think the game's too unpredictable. It means you can budget elsewhere and spread the money in other positions. Are you similar to that, Peter? Are you one goalkeeper?
Yeah, one goalkeeper, one cheap keeper. I know it's that this season, the Cups. A couple of the 1.8s were playing in the Cups, so I was kind of, oh, here we go, we could have two 1.8s, but
yes.
As the Cups progressed, the starting keeper has become minutes. The only one with that is, I don't know if you know, Ross Laidlaw has not been in any squad at all for Ross County so far in the Cups.
Not?
So I've got the backup.
Do you know who it is?
The point is, let me have a look. It's cup games, it's friendlies, it's Munro.
Yeah.
Ross Munro.
Oh, yeah,
They've got three Rosses. They've got three Rosses in their team. So, I don't know. The problem is I tried to search for it. I couldn't find information. Laidlaw, why he's not in any squad. Don't know if he's injured.
Okay.
So you could start the season with 1.8 goalkeeper, but what I would say is get yourself a bit of wiggle room because Laidlaw is definitely the number one keeper. And when he's back fit, he'll be in that team. So it's up to you where you want to do that. On the goalkeepers as well, you mentioned there, I quite like a lot of players at 2.6. I mean, one that stands out to me straight away was Shamal George. Livingston are more going to share clean sheets. They're a bit unknown who they play every year. Martin Gill's a good coach, so I think it's a team they could do all right. If starting the cup, not bad, so that's another thing. And we'll get to my drafts. You'll see the one I've got right now in my team is Marshall at 2.7. For that 1 point more, and he's playing 9 games without playing any of the Celtic Rangers. So to me, that's the one that stands out right now for me. But that's all up there. You'll see when I get to my draft. I've only got 4 players that I think I'm definitely nailed on. Who's your thoughts to keep us?
Last season it was quite easy because Kel Roos was priced at 2.4. Joe Lewis was Aberdeen's main keeper, but you knew straight away that from the Cups, Roos was playing. So you got an easy run last year, but there's no point getting Rangers or Celtic goalkeeper. You'll be able to spend your money better elsewhere throughout the team. Kel Roos, I think, is maybe just too expensive. Again, Aberdeen playing Europe. You probably want a piece of the Aberdeen defence and maybe not the goals. I certainly wouldn't want to double up. It's a lottery, really. Zach Hemming's the one that I've got my eye on at the moment, but as I say, David Marshall, just because he's a recognised name, solid pair of hands, I wouldn't be against that. All that I would say is when you're picking a second goalkeeper, just be mindful which team you pick, mm-hmm. because that will count towards your three from each team. So don't go picking the Rangers back up Kieran Wright or anything like that, because then you'll find yourself coming unstuck. So, you know, go for a Dundee or a Ross County backup goalie that, you know, I doubt you'll ever have three Dundee players in your team. So just watch on that one. Likewise, if you think, well, I'm going to pick the Aberdeen goalkeeper and then I'm going to pick the Aberdeen backup goalkeeper, and then if Bruce gets injured, I'll have the backup. Again, you're going to use two from the same team, and you're only allowed three. So just be mindful of that. If you want to run two keepers, then of course you can do that as well. Look at the fixtures and try and hop between the two. I just don't fancy that in the Scottish game. It's really difficult. Really, and even Rangers, Celtic, you can't predict clean sheets, so you're never going to manage with others.
Yeah, just they will probably finish first and second, apart from that 1 year Gordon was really good at the point scores. But as you said, you could probably look at the back of the season and go, well, if I did the midfielder instead or a striker instead as my third Rangers Celtic player, he'd have probably outscored the keeper, so it's no worth it. I did see people maybe going for the two Dundee keepers because they're quite cheap, which is kind of, I can understand that, the backup and then the other keeper, which is, right, you're not getting much Dundee in your team unless they surely completely different than you expect. But again,
yeah,
I would just go for the cheapie who you think you're not getting much players in their team, which the people always mention, the St Johnsons, the Ross Counties of the world, unless they do.
Yeah,
safe points.
I highlight throughout the season, I've often done goalkeepers in terms of their save points and how that can be beneficial if you're not getting clean sheets. So, you know, it's pot luck, but from a budget point of view, I think those 2.6, 2.7s would probably be enough to start your season. So we'll move on to defenders. We've obviously got the standout, James Tavernier, 7 million. He's top scorer the last two seasons. I don't think you can not have him in your team. So if you do, and I have seen teams without him, certainly good luck to you. In terms of premium defenders after that, and I'm concentrating on Rangers and Celtic here, you used to get quite good value out of, you know, double Rangers was a thing. But again, since VAR, I'm not sure if that's still the same. But anyway, the most expensive Celtic midfielder is Alistair Johnston at 4.6 million. I believe he's injured. Mm-hmm. You then 4.5, you've got Vickers and Greg Taylor. Moving down to 4.4, you've got Goldson. 3.9, John Suter. 3.7, Carl Starfelt. 3.6, Borna Basic. 3.5, Ralston. 3.4, Yilmaz Davies. 3.2, Kobayashi and Balogun. Celtic's back four, is that still up in the air at the moment?
Yeah, what I've gone with the friendly so far is there's been no Ralston in any squad, so I don't think Ralston's going to fit for the season. There's no Johnston, he won't be making it until, I think, very, very latest. Very, very latest would be start of September, maybe the national break, so you don't go with that. So they're playing right now the midfielder, Iwata, at right back. Mm-hmm. So if Andy Dide and Iwata, he's playing out of position but the wrong way, so you don't really like to go down that route.
Yeah.
It'll be Taylor left back, I think, unless something happens. I don't see Burnaby starting before them because Burnaby's just too much a head case. And the back line right now they're signing a Polish guy, I believe, next day or two, so it will change. Probably Starfelt in this new signing. Otherwise, you could start filling Welsh. Did you price Welsh there? Was he one of the prices?
No, he must be less than 3.2.
Right, so that's what I'll keep an eye on for. He might be in the team at the start of the season. Welsh, again, keep eyes on friendlies because there's nothing else there until they're back. Yeah. CCV's back training, but it's solo training, so again, he's another 4 or 5 weeks away from playing, so I don't need to take a risk. I think that's why they're kind of bringing this Polish centre-back in here. He's going to come in and go straight to the team. So if he's priced favourably,
good to go.
He could be good to go, but I think he would price probably in the high end as well because the app will know that he's in to play first.
Defence is really tough in terms of budget this season. I think that's probably where most people are struggling. If you've got Tavernier and maybe you've got Kyogo as well up front, then money-wise, you can't be spending 4.5, 3.5. I don't think that's something that's available to you. For what it's worth, the Rangers defence, it's shaped up not too bad so far in pre-season. I think it'll be Tavernier and Yilmaz in the wide positions, and Goldson might not make it at the start of the season, but he, you know, if he can play, he will play, and I think it'll be him and John Suter in the middle. If Goldson doesn't play, I think Balogun will go in there ahead of Sterling. I just think Balogun knows the game and he's good to go. So people thinking about Borna Barisic, I'm not sure if he'll still even be at the club, but I think he will go Yilmaz. But John Souter's good value. That's about it from a Rangers point of view. But as I say, I wouldn't be expecting to spend a lot of money in defence. So if we move on to the next best. Sorry, Ingo.
To say on that, so Yilmaz probably the cheapest route in. Do you want to double up that defence in if he's playing?
Yes, yeah, 3.4. As I say, if you see Balogun's playing 3.2, then I'm getting him. I don't think you'll get a lot of games out of him. I think he is just cover for Goldson, Souter. We've still got Ben Davies, although I do expect him to leave the club in this transfer window. So just keep an eye out there. If we look at the next best, I think these are all overpriced. It's a lot of Aberdeen and Hearts. We've got Angus McDonald at 3.4 million, Cochrane at Hearts, 3.3 million. Then you've got Jack McKenzie, Ryan Strain, Toby Sibbick, all at 3.2 million. Aberdeen's new boy, Rhys Williams, 3. Kai Rose at Hearts, 3. Craig Halkett, 3 million. And then 2.9 million, and you've got Paul Hanlon at Hibs, Paul McGinn at Motherwell, Liam Gordon, St. Johnson, and Joe Shaughnessy, Dundee. I think they're all, again, still quite expensive. I know Ryan Strain was value, but 3.2.
That's the one with Ryan Strain so far. He's been playing. He's out of position. He's pretty much playing as a winger. So that's the only thing I would think maybe you want to get him in. He is an assist already, or two assists already in the Cups. And when I watched the highlights online, he is playing very high line. They're playing like a 3-2-3. It's like he's like a wing back, but he's definitely given license to get ahead. So just want to keep an eye on if he keeps playing that. They're playing low league opposition, Johnny, so not necessarily he'll play that when he's playing in the Premier League, but it's one, he is good in that position, and if he does continue to maraud forward and he's playing pretty much a winger, that's
Yeah, definitely a good start. So, okay, well, that's something to consider. But I just think all the rest, again, are quite high for teams that they may not get a clean sheet. So I think that the budget defenders next up is probably where you want to be shopping. So here we've got ranging from 2.8 million to 2.5 million. So 2.8, you've got Lewis Mayo, who signed on a permanent from Rangers to Killie. You've got Nicky Devlin at Aberdeen, Scott Tanzer, St Mirren, Rocky Bashuri at Hibs. 2.7 million, again, some familiar names here. You've got Ryan McGowan at St Johnston, Michael Devlin at Livingston, Stephen O'Donnell at Motherwell, Anthony Stewart at Aberdeen, and Riley Harbottle at Hibs. He'd be a new player. 2.6 million, and we've got Andy Considine, solid St Johnston defender. Pape Suare at Motherwell, Eo Obalai at Livingston. He's got quite a good pedigree in the game. And Alan Deferriere at Hibs. So I've butchered that one. At 2.5 million, you've got Bevis McGabby, Ben Motherwell, Ben Purrington, Ross County, James Penrice at Livingston, Lewis Stevenson at Hibs. So they're just selected names that I've picked out as being recognisable. But these are the sort of budgets that I'm looking at when I'm building my team. What's your thoughts, Pierre?
Yep, I think we talked about this last season with the defence. There's not really any point in investing major money in it unless you can see them playing a certain style. I go back to the Gerrard style where it was the two fullbacks flying forward, so you could pretty much rely on that. But that's gone now, and as you say, Diaz in now, so clean sheets aren't guaranteed. I'm looking to just have as many cheap defenders that I know are guaranteed playing in over different teams, not double up on MD. My keeper and my full defence will be different, so that you're just hoping that you get a clean sheet here and there with these players. And as the season will progress quite quickly, you'll probably notice some really cheap defenders who might appear and play. And it's just try to get on them as quick as possible, so save the money for yourself and spend elsewhere. That's my plan anyway. You'd mentioned that in the last season, I think it's a pretty solid plan to start with.
I think so. I think Devlin, Aberdeen, 2.8, that's a good way into the Aberdeen defence. You don't have to spend 3.1 million on Roos, Obalai, Considine, Penrice. You know, I think these are the names that we'll see in a lot of drafts, but there'll be other ones that we've never even heard of that will probably come through, and they're the ones that you have to jump on. So in terms of defence, don't go spending too much on defence because there's better value elsewhere. So moving on to midfielders, The most expensive midfielder in the game, much to my surprise, is Matt O'Reilly at 5.6 million. We've then got Leila Bada at 5.5 million. Todd Cantwell, 5.4 million. Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate at 5.3. Marco Tilo and Sneed Haksabanovic at 5.1. David Turnbull, 5. Tom Lawrence, 4.9. James Forrest, Giannis Hagi, 4.8. And some of those names at the end, they'll get limited game time, if anything. So is there anything in the sort of top end of the premium mids that look good to you?
Well, two that I've... nobody's nailed my team I mentioned before. The two I've got right now is Cantwell and Hatate are in there. But
yeah, same as me.
I can see O'Reilly there because I think he quite a lot of assists last year. I think he finished quite up in the goal in the midfielders. So he's probably been...
He didn't have a lot of goal.
No, he did have a lot of goal input, but he did
get a lot
assists,
of assists,
a lot
passing
of
points. Yeah.
And it'll depend on how Rodgers sets out. But he's been pretty much in the first 11 when he played half so far. And he's been the tip end of it, and the kind of, I don't know if you remember like the way Stuart Armstrong used to play kind of as a number 10. So again, it depends who Rodgers sets up. It could possibly be more chance of being attacking, but it's something I won't know until they actually see the season in full swing. Again, as expected, it would be Rangers and Celtic with all the fielders that's going to be highly priced. Some of them I think are overpriced because they're not going to get as much game time. Like, there's no way, I don't think Hadji will get much game time for us, and I don't see like Forrest getting much game for us. So I know these guys a lot cheaper when you may have been risky. You could have been risky and got them in sometimes and maybe one off. Otherwise, don't see them much teams throughout the season because they won't get much game time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In terms of anyone who's new to the game, Peter and Tom are both Celtic fans and I'm a Rangers fan. So you usually get a balanced overview of both teams, how they're playing and who to look for. And there's always good jibes as and when the times come, but we'll park those just now. In terms of Celtic Weidman, then, that's also been spoiled for choice in the last couple of seasons with Jota. What's it, you know, Zabada? 5.5 is quite a lot. Tilo, Haksabanovic, those are probably the three names that I would be looking at. Are they?
Hard to tell, but it seems to be right now that it's been, he starts with Abada and he starts with Haksabanovic and then they're changing about. So that may be the two he's playing left and right now. But on that, I think I think Kyogo is nursing an injury to get back to fitness slowly. So Maeda's been playing up front rather than Kyogo.
Yes.
That way. But if Kyogo gets fit, Maeda's going to go somewhere. It's probably back to the left, unless he plays two up front, which I don't see. So then that would limit probably Haksabanovic's time, unless he changes his time with Abada. So again, there's nothing guaranteed. That's, I'd rather probably go for one of the three midfielders because that's more guaranteed minutes. And then you can, once the season starts, if somebody nails, like if Abada can be quite streaky, for example, Abada nails that right wing himself and he's going playing well and he suits maybe Rodgers' style of play, then Abada's one to go for. But until we know, we don't know kind of thing.
Abada had a great season two seasons ago, but he never really featured much last season, although when he did, he did usually do pretty well. So, no, I can't see the price rise there. From a Rangers point of view, it's difficult just now. I mean, Todd Cantwell finished the season, you know, in top form, and I can only see that continuing. But we've got so many new forward-playing players that have come into the team that it's going to be really hard to predict the shape and the style of play. But Cantwell, you can stick him in, and I think you'll get really good value out of him. As for everyone else, we'll just have to wait and see. So we'll move on to the next best in terms of midfielder. And again, there's a lot of recognisable names here. 4.7 million, we've got Danny Armstrong. 4.6 million, we've got Barry Mackay, Kieran Dowell, Alan Forrest. 4.5 million, Leighton Clarkson. Seen him in a lot of teams, Dylan Levitt, Hibs. As well, 4.4, we've got Blair Splittle. 4.3, Josh Campbell at Hibs, Matt Kennedy at Kilmarnock, and George Grant at Hearts. So I guess if your team's similar to mine, you've maybe got one or two of those as well, have you?
Not yet. My team's kind of, as I said, I've just got like the players I fancy, the rest is all the cheapies right now to see it. But I'm thinking Campbell, Clarkson, Splittle, Armstrong, the four names that were last year. They've all looked quite impressive in friendlies and cup competitions so far. So it would probably just be this year. They'll probably all do quite well. They'll all probably finish the top 10, 15 overall scoring points. Is it getting on the players at the right time? Who's hitting form? I mean, Armstrong's becoming quite the talisman for Kilmarnock, I think. So And again, with Clarkson, he's signed permanently. A year older, I think he's permanently. He's going on Spittle. The only thing with Spittle puts me off is there's no Kevin Van Veen to feed. So he has a kind of watch to see one, but he has, I've noticed, he's returned in the cups as well. So he is still doing his thing, probably more advanced. And who's the other one I mentioned in the Hibs? Campbell. Campbell's really
Josh Campbell, yeah.
Josh Campbell's really good. And I'd like to see more of Hibs. I want to watch him next week and see how the team looks. And is Dylan Levitt kind of sitting behind Campbell, letting him kind of pull strings and letting Campbell go forward more? Because if he's more attacking, then again, with that first nine fixtures again, Campbell would probably be the no-brainer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Danny Armstrong is a very versatile player. He takes all the set pieces. And those that are familiar to the podcast will know that I champion penalty takers. Anyone who's a penalty taker is good in my eyes. And at the moment, he has been on penalties for Kilmarnock. So that's always a big tick in the box. As you say, Spittle had a solid season last season and he started off so far so good. Josh Campbell has been exciting so far for Hibs. He's scored a couple already. Some of the others are just unknown quantities, but they do have the ability to kick off. Barry Mackay probably had a poor season last season for Hearts, but had a good season the season before. So if he can refine that form, then there's definite value there. In terms of the best of the rest, we've got 4 million Mark O'Hara, 3.8 million Graham Shinney, 3.5 million Christian Montano Livingston, 3.4 million Stephen Kelly at Livingston, 2.6 million we've got Jordan McGee and Sean Kelly. Any of those that you're boosting your numbers up with? Just to...
Not right now. No, yeah. I've nothing set. If somebody's, I mean, a lot of the players you mentioned, someone play kind of defensively, Graham Shinney. I know he's probably nailed, yes, but he'll play sitting, which isn't the greatest when there's better players who could probably be attacking. This is where we'll talk the budget, get your team in is quite hard, so you will have to probably get one or two of these players, yes, in this bench fodder that are guaranteed game time. And none of them are really 100% guaranteed. Kelly's kept on getting subbed and rotated last year near the end, so it was hard to kind of rely on that. Livingston even. So there's nothing there that's tickling my fancy right now, put it that way. But I've got another 13 days or so to kind of work it all out.
Yeah, well, there's two standouts for me. We've got Mark O'Hara at submitting 4 million. He is captain and penalty taker. So as I mentioned, penalty takers is always a good thing. He finished the season quite strong. Somebody I used to have on my bench, and he would come off double digits every other week. We've got Sean Kelly in there at 2.6 million. Now, he was a defender last season. He takes a lot of set pieces. He does take penalties, but Livingston miss a lot of penalties. Obalai used to take penalties. Sean Kelly used to take penalties. At 2.6, I think you put him in there. I think he's played one of their cup games. I don't think he played at the weekend, but Stephen Kelly was the other one. I used to have a Kelly double up for a while, but again, he kind of fell out of favour there too. But you'll need to be picking the lower end. You know, if you've got five midfielders to pick, then I imagine there'll be this type of budget in your team. And just before I go on to forwards and that, we talk about bench trick. Where do you sit in terms of your bench trick? Are you going to use a midfielder or a defender?
I would rather have a defender, but right now I've only caught a midfielder, so it's a midfielder right now, and if I can catch a defender before the season starts, because that's a point two normally saved, I think, so I would jump there instead.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Because the midfield has better options. I'd rather be able to give potentially the five come off the bench with the defence. Yeah. I'm not 100%. But if I can't catch one, I'll be what I've got. And so you run with it. You just play three.
Yeah,
3-4-2, and then we'll catch from the bench as it stands. So I'm
sure
plenty of time to go. We'll probably get a defender before the season starts.
Yeah, I think scoring wise, midfielders will generally get you better scoring opportunities. So I'd like to have five midfielders, play four, one on the bench, and then have a bench check at the back. But from a budget point of view, I know at the start of the season it's easier to do the other way. But that'll all come in good course. So up front, two seasons ago, this was a batting position. And then last season, we were spoilt for choice. And that is reflected in the prices. So we've got Furuhashi, the most expensive forward, 7.8. We then dropped to Shankland at 6.5. 6.2, we've got the Aberdeen pairing of Miowski and Duke. 6.1, we've got Rangers' new boy, Cyril Dessers. 5.7, Deza Mieda. 5.6, Fashion Sakala. So there are your premium forwards. I think we can rule out Fashion Sakala because we're potentially waiting to sign Daniil Yeon. That puts him out of the picture. But for me, I'm Team Kyogo. I know a lot of people are going against it. What's your thoughts up front, Peter?
I think it's the same as it's having your situation. It's too risky to go with him because you could be sitting good rank, Celtic playing a Sunday kickoff, and Cooley goes nuts and your ranks get you hit. If he's fit, that's the only thing. He's not 100% fit yet, so, but you know, he's quite adamant to start the season. So if he's fit and he's playing his first choice, I think you've got to go for him. It's the same as, like, I don't know when you get to Rangers in a minute. How the first choice player up front for Rangers Celtic, I think you'd be pretty silly to try to go against him. Now, last season was the season where Van Dien went nuts, Shankland went nuts for a certain point, and Duke was good. So we've also looked at Van Dien League. And to me, Duke could be better because he's a year older, a year maturer, and this is the last year's contract, I believe, or 2 years. So I'm pretty sure he'll be looking to impress. So Duke could be good. But then if you have that Europe thing to kick in again, they've signed a third striker, I believe, so there's now three of them there that could be retained. It's just to wait and see how that works. But on a Kegel situation, yes, he's in. It was as soon as I made my draft. The two it was in was Kyogo and Tavernier, and then I worked it for there.
Yeah, I think for me, you go Kyogo. If it doesn't work out, you can easily go downwards. But if you don't and you see him catching fire, you're going to have to make at least two transfers to get to him. So for me, that always makes sense. It's a shoulder injury he's got, so I know he's kind of playing through it, but no, I expect the amount of shoulder charges to increase on him now that they went public with that.
He says it's, well, reading it between the lines, it's not like he's got something he's surgery on right now. It's something he'll need to get at some point. So see, for example, he doesn't make the Asian Games squad in January. Mm-hmm. If there's a wee break, he probably might do it then. If it's a 3 or 4 week fight, I'll defend. But after the games I've watched, it doesn't look like he's lost any sort of movement in anything. So he's not like he's not running, he's no tackling. So it's not affected that much so far what I've seen.
Yeah, top goal scorer in the game last season. I'm pretty sure he'll be there or thereabouts this season. So if we look at the next best, we've got 5.4 million O at Celtic. 5.3 is Eli Ewan, Kemar Roofe. 5.2, we've got Sam Lammers, Abdullah Sima. 5 million, Bruce Anderson, Jordan White. 4.9 million, Liam Boyce, who is injured. I think we could probably just ignore him for now. 4.8 million, Nicky Clark and Kyle Vassell. Out of those names, again, anything there that's taking your fancy?
Well, Ewan for Hibs, he's new permanently. Yep. So, again, with Campbell behind him and Leather behind him. I quite like Lee Johnson, the manager of Hibs. I know he talks something he looks like he's talking rubbish, but he seems to set him up quite well. He seems to be quite attacking. So, if I like to see more of them, again, we'll see it in Europe. Rangers strikers are quite nicely priced there, if at all, any of them are in the front line three. So again, that's you know better than me. There's no been, it's only been friendly so far. So if eight are away, you might know better than me. If any of these guys are kind of pretty much nailed in that front three at that price, it'd be interesting to get them in.
From a Rangers point of view, it's really hard to predict at the moment, because there's talk of Danilo coming in from Feyenoord. You've got Dessers, who's the sort of the main transfer of the summer. You've got Lammers, Sima. So we're almost spot for choice up front. You've got Roof, who's going to play a part this season, injured the majority of last season. So it's just getting the right one and hoping that they catch fire. It's going to be the tricky point. But I agree on Ellie Ewan. You'll hear me champion him quite a bit on this record, because I think he could do well. Obviously, they don't have Nisbet anymore. I think that's the one to look for. We've then got the best of the rest. So again, some recognisable names here and some budgets that you might just have to take. But we've got Newbley at Livingston, 4.7. Stephen May at St Johnstone, 4.6. John Obika at Motherwell, 4.4. Scott Tiffany at Dundee, 4.3. Profi at Ross County, 4.3. And Zach Rudd in Dundee, 3.9. These are the ones that you're just going to fill up your bench and hope that they score now and again. But there's not much attraction in any of those names. Would you agree?
Not much. But again, it could be fixtures. And the one to me that stands out, if he's a top man and if he plays well to finish last year, would be Obika for Motherwell.
Yeah.
If he can play in the Kane, I know he's not the Kevin Van Deen, but if he can play similar to Kevin Van Deen, get yourself a position Kevin Van Deen, and he's got Spittle and other players feeding him, and he plays well, because Motherwell finished the season very well last year. Getwell had him playing really good.
Yes.
If he can start the season like that, he could be a nice, cheap striker option who is pretty much first choice, I think. And then you would have him maybe come off the bench, or you could play him if need be fixture wise and take it for there.
No, I would agree with that. Big boots to fill, but he's their main man up front, so only time will tell. Okay, so that's everything in terms of positions and value. I'll have missed players out. Apologies if there's somebody you were hoping to hear about. As I say, Rangers is still a bit of an unknown quantity, albeit we've got a few more pre-season friendlies to go on. You'll hear about that once the season kicks off, what the starting 11 is. But that should give you a feel for who to look at, what prices to go for, and all everything else in between.
Okay, right. So what we'll do now is, Tom's not here, but he sent his draft, right? So I'm going to talk through Tom's draft, which he's got. Obviously, none set in stone, there's loads to go. And we can talk at the same time who we've got in this position there or thereabouts, here or there, right? So we can kind of work, because I've already mentioned a couple of times, I have got a team full of cheapies right now. There's nobody in it apart from the player. I'm thinking that's it. That'll just change the season goes on as the cup games get announced. So
yeah,
he's actually went through it and actually gave us all his reasons as well, which is quite good. So here we go. We'll start with the goalkeeper. His cheapie's Munro. And as we mentioned, Munro's been playing some of the Ross Munro's played some of the games, so potentially start the season. And he's went for 2.8 million Clark. And his reason for Clark is Hearts free fixtures look good. Doesn't want a defence double up. So as his bets, as Clark is his choice. So your goalkeeper right now, is it Hemming?
It is Hemming. If I was going to move, it would be to Marshall. I don't think I would change from where I'm at just now. So I would say between one of those two would be my preference.
Right. And your backup is Munro as well, or Sinclair?
Yeah, Munro, just because you're never going to have three Ross County, and that's the easiest way to do it.
Right, so right now my goalkeeper is Marshall, I mentioned, and I don't really fancy Hearts, so the two of them, he's 0.1 cheaper, and I think they've more potentially clean sheets, so I went for Marshall, and I've got the same backup goalkeeper, Munro.
Yeah.
Right, we've all got Tavernier, so I think it goes without saying. Okay, that's one spot gone. Tom's went for Devlin, first of all, because he thinks it's a step up at Aberdeen. He thinks it's probably a good chance at more asset, more potential of returns. And he's got Suarez from Orwell, Stevenson from Hibs, and his cheap defender is Obel Ayabla as well. So that was names we all kind of mentioned. Donny, you mentioned that earlier on. So another four defenders, any thoughts?
I mean, I've got Devlin and Suarez, so definitely solid picks there. Obel Ayabla, I like the look at him as well. He is a big centre half, will get goal scoring opportunities. As I say, he used to take penalties as well, so there's nothing wrong with that. I've got a piece of the Hibs defence, but it's Del Ferrier that I've opted for. Don't know much about him. It's a shot in the dark, really. So yeah, and I've got my bench strip player at the back as well, so I've only got four defenders really to choose from there, but they're all solid picks.
As it stands now, I've got Suarez as well. That's the one I've got. Another three players are a cheap 2 million defenders, so there's nobody there yet that has nailed it. So it's just Tavernier and Suarez. What you've noticed, the threes have no Celtic defenders because we don't think the team looks 100% solid, so there's no point in going wasting money on Celtic defender right now. We could be pie in the face, could keep clean sheet in the first few games, but that's a risky take. I think there's more upside to the attacking players' return. Right, we've got the midfield. He has Cantwell. Do you have Cantwell? Right, so we've all got Cantwell first. That's pretty much solid. He's started the season last week very well. He'll probably be the most attacking threat in his midfield. He's management. He'll be the number 10 type role of playing slightly behind it, so I don't know through him. He's got Leslie, his bench trick player. Like I mentioned now, he's out the game. That'll get him as well, so he's my best strip player right now. He's got Campbell, 4.3 million. I haven't Campbell team yet, but you have got Campbell your team?
Yeah, I've got Campbell, yeah.
Right, so with Campbell's, we've talked to him up quite recently. He's a very nicely priced 4.3 million. So depending on what he does, he could be a good asset. He's got Spittle. We've talked about him as well. Have you got Spittle on your team as it stands?
I don't. It's just a budget. Right. I've got O'Hara. This would be like for like there. But yeah,
pretty much. And he has Turner from Ross County. I don't know if Turner's a player or not. I need to check into that if he's playing the cup games. Turner 2.9. I'm assuming because of his homework and Turner is maybe getting some minutes. Where's your fifth option in midfield?
Yeah. I have got Sean Kelly, Livingston, 2.6. Has he got Hatate as well?
No, he's not. He's only got one Celtic player. And you have Hatate instead?
Yeah, I've got Hatate. So I've got, you've all got bench trick in midfield. So I've got five midfielders. Hatate, Campbell, Cantwell, O'Hara and Sean Kelly. So there's a lot of points from those players. And
I'll talk you through reasons. He said Stevenson's had the options budget friendly. Suarez fullback playing for assets, but if a punt. Obelai Livingston's probably the most reliable defender. He's probably true. So what about last season? And again, hedging my bet. So his midfield, he went Cantwell in the last season. Well, Campbell looks good pre-season. Spittle, same as well last season. And Turner, because I backed him last week. So I think that's the story. Just cover his own bets there, Turner. So there we go. So we go to forwards. And Tom's forward is Furuhashi, Shankland, and Murray 3.8. So who's your three forwards in the stands, Donny?
I've got Furuhashi, Lammers, and Zach Rudden. So I try and go big with my forwards. I think to have Rangers and Celtic forwards, you're going to get a lot of the points coming those way. Lammers is just budget. He has started pre-season pretty well, and Rudden will get minutes at Dundee, so I think I'm covered there. But Tom's a shrewd player in this game, and he knows his stuff and he does his research. So Shankland will, you know, I think he'll make a lot of managers look silly because he's going to score. He's another guy that's on penalties, and you could miss out quite big points from him, I think.
I've lost Girelli, who was playing up front last season. He was playing deeper, so he's probably back up front himself again with something behind him, so it might make Shatton more a focal threat. Murray, because Murray has been playing for pretty much all of Ross County's games, so 3.8, he knows where net is. That's a cheap enabler. Obviously, I think Tom thinks Ross County can be doing not bad this season. That's two players he's got his bench, two his bench players. I have got Furuhashi, Dessers right now, which I think could change depending on who's the cheaper one up front. And I have went for Maeda just right now because he's been playing games, he's scoring, he's on fire in pre-season. So,
I do like Maeda, it's a shout.
I'll wait and see how the team news goes because if Maeda starts, I could easily just move Carrigo to somebody else, Maeda stays. So, as looking now, the only player I've got set in stone, I've said, it's now I'm thinking about it a little bit more, it's Tavernier set in stone for me. Furuhashi, if fit, is set in stone. Cantwell set in stone. I should have answered Cantwell. Apart from that, anything else is kind of up debate. There's nobody I've won. I'm not moving him right now. He's staying in my team. So that's it. We can say you can send your drafts on Twitter. Me, Donny, or Tom, we'll reply what we think it. There's no wrong answer. I mean, I wouldn't have Shankland on my team, but like as Donny mentioned, Shankland could like done last year.
Yeah,
run right, and then you could be on to get him in. What I did mention is we've all got it. We've all got the most expensive player in the position, apart from goalkeeper. It gives you a nice price point. like to maneuver if something happens. For example, if Tavernier broke his leg, right? For example, he can go anywhere. If Furuhashi broke his leg, he can go anywhere because you've got the highest price point player. And if they go nuts, for example, you're not trying to chase to get to them. So that's maybe a good way to look at the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right, ready to go for questions then, Donny?
Yeah, deep breath. There's a fair few this week.
So we'll try this from as best we can. Some questions we can't answer, some questions we can. And we'll just we'll go through it as we go along. So the first question, actually, it's back to the front because it's the way it is on Twitter. It's from John, which is Cackbag, and he goes, how do you leave a league, or how do you remove a person from a league at Fantasy Scotland? So I looked at that, and I couldn't see any way of doing it. Once you're in the league, so I think you would need to contact the app ourselves. If something's happened, you want to go to a league, or you want to remove a player from the league, because I couldn't find a way of doing it. Somebody might know and answer this, reply to their podcast tweet, but I don't see anything about it. You need to contact the app and explain it to them themselves. He did tag the app in, so maybe they might answer that to him sooner or later. Right, next question. I'll just scroll down here. That's the loads of... Right, so Sean McCready, Scoosh 2605. Who do you think could be the hidden gems this season? So, two or three players that we're not nobody's really talking about are cheap players you might think do well, Donny.
So a lot of these will have already been mentioned, but I think Ellie Unit Hibbs could have a good season. John Obika that we mentioned at Motherwell, filling the role up front. Rossell, he's the Kilmarnock captain up front. That might spur him on. Celtic, I think Hatate's going to have a good season, and Rangers, I'm really unsure because they've signed so many new players, it's going to hard to get a handle on. But a lot of the names that we've mentioned, like say Ewan, Obika, Tambo, take your pick. Well, I've mentioned those names already, so I'm just going to be repeating. Yourself?
Yep, I can't agree with that. The names are pretty much the names I was going to say. The names who will appear out of nowhere, and you may even be signing. One of the two Celtic Korean lads might stamp their... I mean, the winger ones could be in the team and play. Taylor could become first choice. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him. So, again, Hibs is a team I've got my eye on. I think Hibs could do pretty well this year. And like Ewan and Campbell both mentioned, could be nice levers. And if Ross County turn, these are recent, the Tom's option, the Murray up front could be a good shot and all. But again, I would just recommend and watch as much game you can. If any listeners who are obviously not based in Scotland, there's quite a few, if you go to BBC iPlayer or BBC Red, they still have the app, do they? You can still watch the highlights. BBC, you still watch.
Yeah, that's what I tell
you. So there is ways to find the highlights, and that is a normal quite extended decent highlights. So you can actually have a good eye on and look at the players if the games are not catching the football. That's no way can around it. Right, next up. So FPL Shoreham, and he's got a couple of questions here. So as a newcomer to the FFS this season, can you explain price changes? Right, so e.g., when do players rise and fall? How much do they rise per week? Start about first, Donny. So basically, they rise and fall at the start of the game week, and they only go up by 0.1% every week. So it's not like FPL, you have to worry and panic about through the week or people buying the players off players. They do rise 0.1 million either up or down, and it's every week after the deadline. So, for example, if you have a player who goes nuts and you get two free transfers, not to do, you could bring a guy in, you're going to get a price rise off him straight away, 0.1. So there's a way around it. Donny's mentioned before, it's quite an easy game if you're savvy enough to get your team value up quite quick. And then come into the season, you can pretty much make any move you want. Unless players like... Because when it was last year, his tab didn't really rise much because he was that much zone, so he just kind of stayed the same. Didn't he rise at all, did he? And Kyogo, I think, was...
He probably did. But yeah, you'll get consistent value out of him. It's the likes of... Well, Kyle Roos at the start of the season was 2.4, then everyone jumped on him. Cholak was really cheap, and Morelos was injured, everyone jumped on him. So it's just about getting on them and then maybe getting off them as well. So he's asked about how much of the accumulated value you retain. You get the selling price, is my understanding.
Yes, it's not like
the value that play at the
you
time of sale.
You get what you get. So if you pay $5 million for him, 5 weeks later, he's worth 5.5. You get 5.5. So it's pretty quite easy that way. It's good. What you'll find is players at the start of the season, maybe he'll pop into the team at 2 million defenders for like Aberdeen. I think a couple of years ago, 2 million defender. Was it Calvin Ramsey 2 seasons ago, maybe? And then he rises, and then you've got basically 7 weeks later, it's 2.7 million. If you haven't moved by that point, then it may be too late for you to get one of the players. So it's something to keep an eye on every week. Look who's playing, look who's returning. Cameron Abraham was quite good for the return as well. And you can, as you say, jump on, jump off, and invest the money elsewhere. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Next up. Hi, guys.
He's asked for tips. Hints and tips. Sorry, just to finish off SPL Showroom. He's asked for hints and tips on the game as a new player. Well, listening to this podcast is probably the best thing you can do. That's all I was going to say.
Okay, sorry, I missed that. Sorry for you. Oh, yeah, that's a podcast. There's also good. The community's quite good. So once the season starts, you all see
the community is back really forth. Good.
And yeah. One thing you look out for, I think, is maybe, as Donnie will admit, same as me, we support the two big teams. We don't really have an eye on some of the smaller teams. So there's players out there who support the Fermanagh and Ross County. I need a bit of insight to the players who's going to be playing, or the few players, young players coming through, and that's something to keep an eye on. Then you move it at, you get a heads up and get these players in before anybody else gets on them.
Yeah.
Right, so FPM Showroom, you're up, FPM Showroom. Let's go down now to the next one. So FPL Liga. If I can find it here. Have I missed that question out? Yes, right. Hi guys, any cheap early contenders for the bench trick? So Donnie alluded to, I grasped it in and said it quite quick on Twitter. The game took him out. We tend to follow all the teams playing in the league, right? So we follow all the main accounts of the team, and they're quite good at tweeting and saying, so-and-so's left the club on loan.
Yes.
So if you just keep a look at Twitter so often, you'll see Motherwell, for example, man saying, Peter Smith has left on loan to Cove Rangers. So then you go right into the game, see if he's still there, bring the guy in, and then you've got him on your team's the best strike player. We don't know enough top of the head right now. You mentioned Motherwell player. I need to check it after the game, but
there definitely is. But
they've all removed him quite.
I was just going to say, it doesn't have to be somebody that's left the game. It could just be a youth player that is never going to see the starting 11, and you can put in. You can get burned at the end of the season. These guys get minutes. Adam McKinnon was one, I think, at Ross County used to get minutes, so just be careful. But we will try and usually flag those up as and when it happens. But
once you start making the bench,
there'll be enough chat.
Once you start making the bench, we can let you know each player's making the bench, so you might get minutes, especially if the team's safe, they're not playing for anything. So we're starting to watch.
Absolutely.
Right. Boom, boom. Next up. Is that many people replying? Trying to find it. Right. So we have Goal Machine 16.
Yeah.
So I'll turn it back to front. Right. Only two players on my team now are Tav and Leslie for bench trick. Sad to the midfield. I guess Tav on the team. It's not really a question, it's just a statement. One more question. What to do with Aberdeen defence? Ended real strong for defence last season. Added Devon to the squad now, but fixture's not good to start. Should we consider the defence to start with, e.g., Roos, Devlin, etc.? What's your thoughts on starting with Aberdeen defender, Donny? Goalkeeper.
So we talked about Devlin being the cheapest entry point to the Aberdeen defence. Now, what I would say is Aberdeen have actually got defensive problems at the moment. Added to that, one of the best defenders last season was Liam Scales, who's on loan from Celtic. Mm-hmm. They had Pollock and Coulson, good fantasy players. They've both left. So although we talked them up, defence is probably the weakest part of their team right now. Devlin, I think, is a safe shout. If you want to go Roos, that's a safe shout. They do play Celtic game week two. But that being said, they will give you good returns over the course of a season. So it's always handy to have a piece of that team. But as I say, they do have defensive problems at the moment. So certainly no double up for me. Just have one and see how it goes.
I think Scales will not back you up with end of August as well. So I think it's all pretty much waiting to receive who we get in. I think Scales will not back Aberdeen permanently before this. It's all the talk anyway, so we may not back there. FPL Liga again. Will Yilmaz likely start? You mentioned the old Donny, won't you?
I think he will. The way that Beale's playing, he's got a lot more youth in the team, a lot more energy in the team. I think his style of play will favour Yilmaz, and Barisic has been a good servant, but I think it's time to move him on and just go with what we've got. So I think Yilmaz will be starting.
Right, no major risk of minutes, you don't think so? Especially Europe at the start, a couple of qualifiers.
That's what burnt us last season. I think I championed Yilmaz last season, and then Barisic played all the European games. So watch this space. I'm not here the first game week, but certainly when I come back from my holidays, I'll be able to fill you in on what's happening with Rangers, having a lot more data at hand. But I think it'll start with Yilmaz.
Right, so another question, Goal Machine. Obviously, I'm reading this back to front because it's on the notification feed.
Okay.
Goal Machine wrote again, the biggest challenge I face is understanding starting 11 tentatively for each team with so many ins and outs. So we've covered this quite a few times. The teams that's in the League Cup, you can look at their squad. The games at the start of the group, maybe not so much, but the next two games are now getting close to the start of the proper season. So I would like to think the teams playing these games are probably as close to 11 you can get. Hibs will be playing next week. And Europe, so the first 11 should be the first 11, you'd think. And Celtic Rangers have friendlies finishing up before the season starts. So you'd probably need teams out of 10. They will play what will be starting strongest 11 in the second or last fixture. So you can take it from there.
Yes.
There's all the players that are now. But apart from that, it's just a matter of you have to wait and see.
No.
You can then ask a lot. You can ask accounts. You'll notice on the app there is also players owned by as well. So a lot of people are maybe more savvy, can tell you who's going to be playing games. You can look at the percentage owned, and that's kind of works as well.
Yeah, it's the nature of the Scottish football. Teams have to sell their best players to get money in, so there's always going to be big changes. Rangers have probably had to make more changes than normal, so they've got, you know, a lot of changes there. But that's all part of the game, is just learning who the new players are and what they can do for your team. So we'll talk about it as much as possible over the course of the season, and you'll see it online as well. So,
yeah,
learning curve.
In Scotland also, they have youth quite a lot of chance in the smaller team. So
yeah,
it is a lot of youth guys going through every year. Again, it's just as you say, the learning curve, to see used to rotless names. Tom will be doing a top 10 every week, and you'll see who's performing point-wise. You'll notice these names repeating, and you're like, oh, this guy's returning, so you might want to get these players in. It did tend to be, last year we did notice a lot of the same names, give or take a few like surprise entries.
Yeah.
So it is a template will form. It is every year after four or five games, a template will form, and then it's a matter of who you captain or vice-captain to kind of go up the ranks. Right, same quickly. So next question is from Gavin, with all numbers after these names. Considering his price, is Kugel still essential? I'm struggling to keep him in my team for strength elsewhere. I think it's essential if he's fit. I think Donny agrees. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just throw the question back at you. Is Tav essential given his price? I mean, he's 2.4 million than any other defender. Kyogo's 1.5 million more than Shankland. Two of the top point scorers in the game, they're going to get eight returns. To me, they're must-haves. So, yep, make changes that you have to. Sacrifice somewhere else, get them in. And if it doesn't work out, then you've got somewhere to go.
Yeah. The only thing with Kyogo, he's probably got more rotational options than Tav has. I mean, there's not much on the right back coming through, whereas Kyogo has it all. So his minutes can be managed. If Europe starts, or something to watch. Or Maeda, which may start quite well in pre-season, so he might be made up the middle and manage minutes. Again, it's something just to keep an eye on as the season continues. It might be the point where he's not worth starting because he's not getting enough minutes, so you might want to jump off him. But
absolutely, again,
we'll just cross that bridge when it comes. And his second question, why have 90% of folk got Pineda in their squad? That's the Mexican guy that's signed for Dundee, I believe.
I think it's just the cheapest forward. So if anyone's just trying to go strong 11 and just the cheap everywhere else, I think that's why he's got high ownership. So I don't know much about him.
I took it as it says, people look for the cheapest asset, like they say. They went, oh, they've got a striker from Mexico, so he's probably going to be nailed, and it's kind of simple as that. He's not started any of the games so far in the Cup, so he's not nailed. Rudden's probably your best bet. Rudden's up front for Dundee. He's probably your best bet.
Yeah, Rudden's who I've got on my team, 3.9 million, so I think that's where you should start. But I just seen it as people just filling up with the cheapest in each position, so that would take you to that one.
Right, next up is Michael Scott. His second question was, do we have any bench trip players? We already answered that. We don't really know. We'll have to wait to see. Dory mentioned you can just pick a player, a youth player who's not getting much chance of playing, so go for that. Next up is Sutty Show. Happy birthday, Sutty. Midfielders seems to be the trickiest to get right. I usually have my bench trick as midfielder, but I am better have five midfielders with high ceilings rather than four bench defenders, but brings in one of those midfielders each week. So I think you pretty much covered that. Donny, your thought, yes, what you want as well. You'd rather have the defender. Again, Midfield does look good. We mentioned quite a few names. You'd like to have your team to pull the turn quite often. So it's a matter of just picking a cheap defender and going with him. Sorry, if that's what you want to do. It's something I want to do. We'll have to wait if I can do it or not. And it depends on the financially viable. But we've covered this as well, Donny. So we need to go over this again. Michael Scott again, which is at, sorry, I think his Twitter name is at Yala Leopard. Pricing more challenging this year. Where are the value picks in these positions? Finding it hard to get team with Kyogo and Tav that I like. Presently have Maeda, Hatate, Starfelt, Tav and Cantwell from the old firm and Shankland to the fixtures. So I think that's his problem there. I mean, he mentioned all the players and they're all quite pricey.
Yeah, Donny, Starfelt you could probably get rid of.
Yep. Donny mentioned earlier on the players through the price bracket. So if you go back to that guy, I could probably go through it and he'll, you mention the players who are a cheaper side to a probably game guaranteed game time, and that should maybe make your team look more balanced. Next up is the returning Rambo Muna, the old adversary for last year, the new king, I believe he was calling himself, Donny. So this is my team now. Another question is, who should you guys refer as a bench player? So I think he means a bench trick player. So the same questions answered again. It's just cheap player. I think all these players here, he's starting 11 always when he start. I think he's quickly got Roos, Tavernier, Cochrane, Devlin, Armstrong, Pittle, Levitt, O'Hara, Tierney, Furuhashi, Lopez. So Tierney might have left the team, so Tierney could be his option. He's bench trick player.
Yep.
And he's free, he's got up in the bench. I don't think they're guaranteed. He's got a Rangers player, Donny, that's a big no-no. He's got Devine.
Yeah.
So that should be removed. Yeah. Rambo gives you more flexibility for getting a player in for Rangers later on if you want to have two. Is there any other questions, Rambo? I have a dilemma up top, keeping Duke as my forward. My budget issue is my first problem. I can't get cheaper at a differential forward at three for million, maybe, I think he was trying to say. I can get rid of Tierney, whom I brought in. So, again, we mentioned players like Rodden and the Pinada they play. There's also Murray for Ross County. Looks like you can't remember that team, Rambo. You'll have to make a cut somewhere and have that player in.
Yeah, if you look at me, Ada, Lamas, Sima, Ewan, they're all cheaper than Duke, so...
I think he wants to keep Duke, that's his point. He likes to keep Duke, so that's his man, so...
Well,
we'll see. You have to take some. Maybe on midfield, we'll see. He's quite happy with the midfielder. He's got four. Armstrong, Spittle, Levitt, O'Hara, all quite pricey. Maybe make one of them cheaper, and then he can then keep Lopez in and maybe get a stronger bench.
You've got to sacrifice somewhere at this point in the season. You're just going to... You can't have it all, whereas the end of last season you could, so... It's just the nature of the game.
This isn't like FPL. We don't price all nicely for you. So you get all the players on your team you want. We FPL them this year. This is quite hard to get your team in. Right, let's stop. Right. Best cheap bench options. This is for Samuel McFarlane, 05. I come with Penrith and Daba and Lennon Miller. So we mentioned the players, Samuel. I think we're back to look again. The three players we mentioned, don't be covered in Daba and Lennon Miller. So they're both been playing, and Davis Hibbs, he's been playing the friendlies, and Lennon Miller is a young guy coming through Motherwell, so he is quite young. I know he's played the cup games, but I don't know he's guaranteed to be playing every week in the season, so
I wouldn't have thought so.
No, not for ages, so, and especially if they sign somebody else, so it's just one, he's a decent player if he starts the season, but it's one to keep an eye on. Do we have any more questions? Is that us, Donny?
No, I think that's them all,
That's them all, we might have one here. Yep, that is it. That's it. That's all the questions done. So again, there is no podcast next week, but we will be lively on Twitter, myself, Donny and Tom. So this tag is in, we'll ask a question, send us a draft, we can look at that and we can kind of evaluate, see where it goes wrong. See if there are any players there who are not playing, who you've got your team who you might be losing out on, and it's a wasted player. But I think that's it. So Donny, get your plugs in before we head off into sunset.
I am at @FFS_Donny on Twitter or X or whatever it's called this time tomorrow.
I noticed that. Why is it called that? Is there a reason behind this?
Just Musk. Elon Musk doing his thing. But at @FFS_Donny.
Yep.
Scout. Good chat for me.
Scout. Tom's at FFS Scout and I'm at Fantasy Half. So what I'll plug again is the cup. There's 19 spaces left. You've got to Thursday probably to get in and fill it up. And then after that, I'll need to shut it down because I'll need to draw the cup before going on holiday. So there's plenty of spaces. Interested, send me a DM or a reply to the tweet. I'll tweet again. There's a lot of people ask questions today and they're acted on the tweets but haven't entered the cup. So if you guys thought maybe there's no space, there's plenty of space. And like I mentioned before with Donny, it's a two-legged affair. So They're not locked off a week one. Nobody's got a chance. So you've got 2 weeks. It'll be two-legged. We'll be through to the final and then the first winner. Right, so that's us, Donny. Say goodbye and Morovsky.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.